Hello and welcome to the Dietitian Mindset Podcast. I am your host, Jesse McGinley, a registered dietitian who specializes in sports nutrition. The intention of this podcast is to cultivate more conversation and awareness around the field of nutrition and dietetics to elevate the profession as a whole. Conversations will not only be surrounded around the progression of dietetics, but also the mindset shift that occurs with behavior change, how to evolve as a professional within the sports world, how to collaborate amongst an interdisciplinary team, and approaches, perspectives, and research from others in the field. I hope as listeners, you leave each conversation inspired and open to a new perspective. And with that being said, enjoy today's episode. What's up, everyone? Welcome to today's episode. I am super excited for y'all to listen to this one. So I am joined today with Joe Hansley, a successful entrepreneur in the nutraceutical nutrition supplement world. Joe is a former football player at CSU, Colorado State, go Rams, and played afterwards in the NFL. So Joe owns a company called GoMix and initially started out with a concept and then pivoted and grew his business to land multi-billion dollar companies using his product and so on and so forth. So it's a great listen to hear the mindset shift behind that in an entrepreneur space, what that entails, and especially being a former athlete and what transferable skills he brought over to real world, just because there are so many transferable skills that you can pick up as an athlete in that space. So just a little context, just I have to shout the concept and the idea out just because I find it so fascinating. So Joe started his company GoMix and initially started focusing on the protein powder and how it's packaged. So he created this concept of using a on-the-go packaging system. So if you can envision it, it almost looks like those like inflatable water bottle bag situation. So if you know what I'm talking about, it's like a bag attached to like a water bottle top and you fill it up with water, it inflates and whatever. So his concept was to put protein powder in the bag dry. And then as you fill it up with water, you can discard it. And then you eliminate the gross shaker bottle situation after the gym or whatever the case may be. So super dope concept. And then after a successful run of that, the company and Joe decided to pivot and just focus on the packaging and now has partnered with multi-billion dollar businesses. And it has opened up doors for him, as he explains in this episode, to just more opportunities. So today's episode, we really talk about what all goes into that, the believing in yourself, surrounding yourself with good people, and then the mindset and the mindset shifts that he experienced to get to this point. So hope y'all enjoy this one. If you do enjoy it, if you resonate with it, if it was helpful, if it was inspiring, if you took anything from this episode, please share it. This podcast grows by word of mouth, and I appreciate y'all being here. So again, hope you enjoy this one, and I'll catch you on the other side. All right. Welcome to another episode of the Dietitian Mindset Podcast. Today, I'm joined with founder of GoMix and a person who's involved with a bunch of different companies and entrepreneurship, Joe Hansley. Super excited to have you on, Joe. So thanks for hopping on.
I appreciate you having me. It's good to reconnect.
Yeah, no, it's been a minute. So kind of just starting out, and we can kind of get into the background and all of those things, but like explain kind of all of the endeavors and all of the projects that you're part of and like what you do in general.
Yeah. So I got entrepreneurially, got into that realm of things when I was going through my early midlife crisis, when I got done with my playing career and didn't know what the hell I was going to do, decided to kind of jump into it. And that's when I originally started GoMix. GoMix is a patented ready to mix, delivery system for nutritional powders. So that kind of got me into the consumer side of, nutraceuticals, supplements, all that good stuff. Kind of throughout that journey, had the opportunity to be involved with a number of different projects. As far as what else I'm doing right now, I'm a partner on a company called the Human Optimization Project. We have a platform and products focused on anti-aging and longevity. So really cool group of people on that company and that business, and it's growing quick, so super exciting there. And I also work with a bigger corporation called Menasha Packaging, and I'm kind of focused on the secondary packaging of graphic folding cartons. And my kind of niche and my focus is on the health and wellness nutraceutical space. So everything really ties together really nice and kind of works synergistically. So yeah, super grateful and lucky to kind of be involved with things that mesh so well together.
Yeah, for sure. So, I kind of know the background of it a little bit, but like your first kind of endeavor, like with the supplement side of things, like what did that look like jumping into it?
It was a shit show, just like everyone else who gets into entrepreneurship. But no, I mean, it was when I got done, like, you know, I played, you know, football at CSU, had a short little cup of coffee with the Raiders. And then, you know, when my playing career comes in and just like, you know, like, it's like, what is the next step, you know, and you kind of like feel like you lose your identity a little bit. You don't know what your past's going to be. You don't know where you're going to go. And I was definitely, you know, going through all of that and always had kind of a desire to be an entrepreneur and, you know, start my own business. And, kind of weirdly enough, out of need, I thought of this concept in my head and thought it would be something that I could use. And then kind of just jumped in full force and decided to go for it. And it was really, you know, learn by, you know, trial by error and just figure it out as it goes. I was super naive and young and hungry and hustling, made a ton of mistakes early on, wasted a lot of money. And ultimately they were good learning experiences. But yeah, I mean, I've developed a passion for the packaging side of consumer goods. And that's really where I play in every company that I'm involved with. And that's kind of my expertise on the supply chain and product development end. But yeah, it was, I've always been interested in, you know, from a performance standpoint, just being an athlete, because I have always been around supplements and taken supplements. And you know, I've kind of been that like product junkie when I walk in a gas station, like I'm always picking up products and looking at the packaging. So, where I'm at now is definitely not something I would have thought about when I was, you know, in high school or even college, but I think that's just the way that the world works and you kind of find your path. And I'm lucky enough and blessed to be able to have a passion and be able to, you know, work and make money with it.
For sure. And you kind of mentioned like it kind of like fell in your lap or kind of you just kind of stumbled into it, honestly, like with the packaging side of things. Like, how did that shift happen from going like, what is it? Did it just click all of a sudden one day or were you just like, oh, wait, the money is not in the supplement. The money is in the packaging. Like, what was that like?
Well, as far as like the story goes, the concept was kind of just thought of out of need. You know, I was like, call me lazy or unprepared when I was growing up, but I always had issues specifically like taking protein. I didn't want to put it in a baggie. You know, I wouldn't put it in a shaker. And if I did, I would leave the shaker after drinking it in my car and it'd be smelly and gross and inevitably you throw it away anyways. So the concept really was developed around protein and finding an easier way to consume it on the go. Like being an athlete, you're constantly going to class or meetings or whatever the case is. And, you know, I didn't love the products on the market from an RTD standpoint, the pre-made, you know, already blended shakes, just because there's a bunch of preservatives in them and, you know, didn't necessarily sit well with my body. And there is this transition and shift in the marketplace where people want a lot more transparency and natural ingredients. So we're really aligned nicely with some of the trends right now. But I originally launched my own brand just behind a clean whey protein isolate, kind of brought that to market with the concept. It was really like a proof of concept type thing. I, at the time, you know, was very uneducated when it came to business. Like I have a communications degree from Colorado State. You know, it's not like I've been exposed to at that point in my life, like I hadn't been exposed to like high level business and strategy and even the possibilities around how people can make money within different industries. So I was like, oh, I've got to launch a brand behind this thing. And I am not a marketing guy. I'm not a brand guy. Like I can resonate and identify if a brand is good or not, but conceptually thinking about it in my head, didn't execute. Like it was good enough to the point where I got enough feedback and enough sales, whether it was direct to consumer through our website or, landing like mom and pop kind of boutique gyms in the area that I'm from in Colorado, where it was enough for me to be like, all right, I've got something, like I'm willing to go all in on it. And at that point in time, my current business partner, who had a lot more experience in specifically the supplement space, but had a kind of, you know, honestly, better business mind than me, and kind of exposed me to a different model. He was like, hey, instead of, you know, holding your patents and this proprietary packaging that you have to yourself and trying to grow your brand, let's go and license it out or contract manufacture it for other brands. And that's really when we transitioned our model from B2C and selling it to consumer to going B2B and leveraging it with other businesses. And I mean, it was the best decision we ever could have made. Ended up getting an investing partner through that partner and in different relationships, landed a license internationally with a multi-billion-dollar brand. And that's kind of what like kickstarted us to getting into our business now. So now we still have the license internationally with that brand and do some good business over in Asia. But just recently we signed an exclusive license with a manufacturer out in the Dallas, Texas area that they invested in some equipment to be able to produce our product all in one facility. And that's kind of our growth strategy and how we're going to scale out. So we have a really good partner on the manufacturing side right now. Before that partner, I was sourcing the packaging from China. It was coming into a different facility out in Utah, and we were filling the powder through a really small 22 millimeter spout, which is like your typical water bottle, you know, that you're just drinking out. So super inefficient from a manufacturing standpoint. And there was just no ability to scale. You know, you talk to some of these big brands and they're like, you know, if this product hits for us, you know, we're projecting 10 million units a year or whatever it is. And, you know, we're looking at our capacity and we're like, yeah, we could probably make you like a million if we didn't turn the machine off for a whole year, you know? So it was really difficult to, it was just a lot of hurdles that we had to overcome and find the right strategic partners and get the right agreements in place. So we were really lucky and fortunate to find the right partner and have them believe in our concept and, you know, have them willing to invest in some equipment that now we do all the form, fill, and seal in one facility. So much more efficient process. Actually scalable and actually works for bigger brands. So we're excited to see what happens here domestically with the concept. We got a couple brands that we work with right now and a couple good ones in the pipeline. So we'll see how it shakes out in the market.
For sure. No, that's awesome. Congratulations, by the way. That's pretty incredible. I think all of that to say, like, it just kind of, if I were to deduce it down to like one piece of advice that like I'm hearing just from you speaking about that is like, be open-minded to like other possibilities to make your business bigger than what you think it can be. Is that, yeah, do you resonate with that?
Yeah, totally. Like, you don't know what you don't know. And that's, I think that's life in general. It's not just business. Like, you know, don't, especially in entrepreneurship, I feel like a lot of people get egos around really believe like they're it's kind of poured into you in that, you know, in that ecosystem of entrepreneurship, like believe in yourself, you know, like you're going to get objections, don't listen to them. Like at the same time though, you can't be blind, you know, to something that is working, isn't working. Like you've definitely got to be open-minded and be willing to adapt and change. And I mean, I was fortunate enough to get around some really, really good people. And I think that was a reason why, like, I was open-minded and more or less coachable. And I think that goes back to my playing career. Like, I was always willing to be coached and do what it takes to get on the field. And part of that, as you know, is like, if the coach hates you, you ain't gonna play, right? Like, you know, like he's the one who's putting you in the game. Like, do what they want you to do. And I think there are similarities in there around being open-minded and coachable, right? Like be willing to look at things different ways. And I think there is something to be said about believing in yourself and kind of trust in your gut, but there's that happy medium between, you know, being kind of delusional, you know, and blind to the fact that you might not be right. Trusting the people that you're around and having some open-mindedness for sure.
Yeah. It's such a delicate dance between like having that delusional confidence, but then also like having the ego, but in a keeping your ego in check. Like if you had a serious ego, you would probably still trying to be pushing supplement powder and probably like not, you know, as expanded as you have grown to be. So it's
totally,
it can totally just kill a business if you're just not adaptable, coachable, and able to like pivot, especially in your space and entrepreneurship.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we did. We pivoted, like we completely changed the model and took it a different direction. And it was the best thing, you know, we could have done. I would not be in the position I am with obviously GoMix, but the other opportunities that have come about that I've like really, really developed a passion for, I wouldn't have known that these models and these different opportunities even exist. Like I was so, at the time I was like, oh, the only way I make money is I got to have a brand and sell a product to a consumer. Right. Like I didn't and you know, granted, I probably went to class less than most in college, but I was relatively not uneducated when it came to different ways to make money in business in general. So I didn't even understand how supply chains were set up. I thought the vast majority of companies were manufacturing their own products themselves, and it couldn't be the more opposite, specifically in the supplement and nutraceutical space. Like it's a very, you know, it's a very rinse and repeat industry. People are putting different brands and different labels on the same product, and they're more or less their marketing companies. You know, they're not actually manufacturing the ingredients and the packaging themselves. It's all contracted out. So we kind of found a nice way to leverage our IP and fit in that space. And yeah, it's been good. It's exciting.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. I think kind of going back to you spoke on like being around really amazing people throughout the journey. And I think that kind of shapes us in helping with like the delusional confidence, but also the guidance, you know, with the coachability. Like, was there anyone like around that you were like, oh my God, without them, I would not have been able to pivot. Without them, I would not have been able to learn? Or has it just been a cascade of people that have come about?
No, I mean, there's definitely a few like that come to mind and specifically to business. Like obviously throughout my life, like having the opportunities that I did in sports, I was exposed to a lot of really, really good people and influential people. But my mindset like really transitioned after I got released and like was looking at my life, like, what do I do now? And fortunately, I was able to, one, my partner, Paul Sorbo, and we, you know, he's a partner on the Human Optimization Project as well. We've done a ton of business together. Like he exposed me to a different thought process and belief in yourself. But then I got around people who have had a ton of success in business, specifically our investing partner. You know, randomly get in touch with this guy. His name's Brian Baer, and he took a leap of faith on us and had a big company at the time. And I've watched him grow from, you know, a 7-8-figure business to a 9-figure business. And so being exposed to like almost like the blueprint and the thought processes around what's possible, you know, overcoming objection, believing in yourself, all that stuff. Like I'm a big believer in, I know it's a cliche saying, but like the 5 people you're around the most are really like, you're going to be the 6th. Like that's who you become. For me personally, like it couldn't be more true. When I'm around bad people, like I do bad things. When I'm around good people, I elevate and my excellence kind of takes off from there. So that's really one of my biggest focuses. And one of the things that I really pay attention to is who I'm surrounding myself with. Because I've just learned that people do have influence on me, whether it's good or bad. So I just got to be really conscious about who I surround myself with.
Yeah, I think that's life, honestly, especially like in such a, like I keep saying entrepreneurship like space, but any creation or anything that you're trying to put out in the world, if you have people around you that are not believing in themselves, therefore not believing in you, or just wanting to be complacent in kind of their own situation, no shade. But if there's like no growth around you or no inspiration, there's a, what is it, Nipsey Hussle quote that if the people surround you aren't inspiring you, you're in a cage kind of thing. Like, I just think it's such a delicate dance. Like
it is. I this term in my head, I always look for people who are like delusionally optimistic. Like I try to stay as far away from people who say like, I can't catch a break, or just like, it is what it is. And like, you know, like feel like they're just helpless and can't do anything about it. So it's toxic. Like, you don't want to be around people like that. When I get around people who like, sky's the limit, they're delusionally optimistic, they believe that they can go and accomplish goals, like, you know, I'm much more prone to believe in and think the same way. So yeah, I mean, that's like, that's my number one, is making sure I'm around people who are pushing me in a positive direction versus negative.
Yeah, because it changes your whole mindset on things. It really does. It just kind of, I don't know, it's almost like a blueprint of like, oh, if they're doing it, I'm doing it. And then it's kind of just this like energy, like passing of energy of just like, okay, bet, like let's elevate, let's kind of like do this thing. But with that being said, like, what is your observation, and this might be it, but like observation of those successful people in this space, like what are some traits or in a company or entity of being successful?
Yeah, I think like the big one is belief, like an internal belief that they can accomplish, you know, what they've set out for. And I think like I'm a fan and believer in manifesting, and like whether it's the quantum physics side and you're actually talking about the energy and all that stuff, or strictly just like aligning your mind with a belief that you want to go, or a goal that you want to go attack and accomplish. I think your actions line up with what's going through your head. Like, it's pretty hard to, if you're constantly reinforcing and telling yourself like, I can do this, and focusing on your goals and thinking about what it's going to take to get there, I think naturally most people would wake up and they're going to go take action towards that. Like, obviously you can't just sit there and think a Lamborghini into existence. Like, it doesn't work like that, but if that's what you want, like, you're probably more prone to actually go and take action to get there. So I think the internal belief thing's huge. And I think, you know, there's studies all over the place around successful people. And like, one of the common traits is like this unbelievable belief in themselves. And then the other big one is, I think, overcoming hurdles and objections. Like, in any business or life in general, there's always going to be ups and downs. And when you're down and when things aren't going good, or when you come to an objection, or something goes wrong in your business, your life, your relationship, whatever it is, like, you know, looking at it from a sense of like, this is just a hurdle I need to get over, rather than like, this is a wall that just, it's the end, you know, like the amount of time specifically in business where I've even felt, I'm like, we're screwed. Like, this is it. It's over. And then I get a call from my partner, and he's like, all right, now the real work begins, you know, like countless number of times that has happened. And I've been lucky enough to have people around me where it's like, nah, man, like this is the plan. This is what we're going to do. And then you overcome and you keep moving forward. That's just, it's, I think the common trait is they just are always moving forward. These people are continuously finding a solution to the problem. And they never look at it like, we're screwed. You know, if there is a situation where you might be screwed and it might be the end of the road, but that's when you pivot and that's when you adapt, and ultimately you keep moving forward. So again, that goes back to the ego thing and not being so hard-headed that you're not willing to adapt. And yeah, I mean, it's no exact science. It's not black and white, but it is like just the constant push to move forward. And it comes with belief and your willingness to find a solution, I think.
Yeah, no, and that grit and resilience too. And just like it kind of honestly goes back to what you were just speaking on the delusional confidence, or like the delusional optimism. Yeah, exactly. Like, if you're not delusionally optimistic in really shitty situations, like, you could just throw in the towel and like, go do something else. But like, there's people around you that are consistently being like, what do you mean? Just a little roadblock? What are we doing?
That's all it is. So, just a little problem. Go. Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah, exactly. Just panic first and then calm yourself down. But it kind of speaks on like, if you were surrounded by people that weren't like that, you know, how hard would that be to pivot? And
totally. Totally. Everyone's different, right? Like, there are the people who, you know, no hurdles too big. Like, me specifically, especially when I was playing, like, I didn't have that. Like, I always knew I had some game, but I didn't have that like undeniable belief that like I belonged in the NFL. Like I got the opportunity to go and play and put on the jersey and put on the helmet. And like, I thought I had some game and I had some success in practice and all these things. And then I realized, like when I got cut, I realized I was like, my internal belief that I actually belonged, it was too little too late. Like I did not, and there was other things that I think happened, obviously, but like looking back, I was like, dude, you didn't even believe that you belonged here. Like, how could that, you know, how could it ever happen? You know? So, there's probably other people who believed in me more than myself that I could make it, which is never a good thing. Great people to surround yourself with, but like at the end of the day, if you don't have that internal belief in yourself, like the road, the well's going to go dry. You're going to end up at some point it's going to end. And, I mean, it was a really good learning experience for me. My perception completely changed after I, you know, transitioned to the new part of my life. So it ultimately, you know, ended up being a good thing.
Yeah. How did you like change that perspective or perception, or like what were ways that you were like that you recognized it and then changed it essentially?
Yeah, honestly, like I don't think it's like one point in time, but I definitely had a long look in the mirror, right? Like when you go doing something your entire life and then it comes to an abrupt end. I had a long look in the mirror and was lucky enough to be able to identify and have some self-assessment around internal belief. And I really I flood myself with positivity, whether it's through social media, like the vast majority of it is through social media. And I just started, like, I don't know if it just popped up on my algorithm or whatever it is. Like, I remember watching a video of Gary Vee, and I just remember being like, why haven't I ever heard of this or like thought of things this way? And I think it was timing and things really like clicked at the right time for me in that sense. But I try to flood myself with positivity and people who are talking about overcoming the hurdles and believing in yourself and all that good stuff, rather than, you know, the people who are sitting there bitching about their 9-to-5 on social media and how shitty it is. So, Yeah, I mean, I think you consciously got to go out and seek out the outcomes that you're looking for, like find reasons to keep going. And it's a lot easier if you're, you know, constantly hearing and watching things about positive versus negative.
Absolutely. And you have no idea how much the consumption of those things actually influence you. Like, you might just be on Instagram or like social media and you're just scrolling and like just like passing time or whatever, but it's like looking back, you don't realize that's actually like affecting or reinforcing maybe those beliefs or like helping you avoid those beliefs or like all of those things, whatever the case may be. But there is something to be said about what you surround yourself with, what you consume, and how that shapes your reality. As corny and clickbaity as that sounds, but like, it really is so true.
Yeah, it is true. And some people don't believe it. Like, they don't think like the subconscious side of things like actually affects you, but it totally does. Like, if you're constantly just sitting there watching people say the world sucks, like especially right now with the state of the world, you know, in the US and all these other things going on, like it can become really, really influential and you might not even know it. So you know, I'm a human being too, like there's times where I'm like, God, this sucks, you know, and I'm watching a video and I'm like, yeah, I feel you, brother. Like, this sucks, you know, but you can't let yourself kind of consume that stuff too much. You gotta be careful.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think so. In terms of like, you kind of spoke of like, there's really no loss. Like, there's no loss in the pivot. There's no loss when you hit that roadblock. Like, it's always just like a lesson and you pivot, or like kind of if you're open to it, essentially. But like, has that been the biggest growth or lesson that you've learned, or what would be the biggest takeaway through your whole experience up until this point?
Yeah, I think like everything's a learning lesson, you know, there's only wins, you never lose, that type of thing. Like, to me, that's a perspective. Like, I can quite literally say like, yeah, we lost on that decision. You know, like when, just an example with GoMix, like when we started to have some success and landed this big company out internationally and started bringing some money in, we went and hired some people, which was the dumbest thing in the world, because even if they went out and did their job, we had no way to produce the product for a big company that they would have brought on. So like, I can look at that and be like, yeah, we lost 40 grand or whatever we paid the person over X period of time. Like, you can look at that and quantify it with a dollar value. But if I look on the other end, like, that was a learning experience and a mistake that I'll never make again, you know? So I think there's positive outcomes there. Yeah, I mean, it is like corny and cliche that like everything's a learning lesson, but yeah, I would much rather have that perspective than looking at it like, yeah, you know, I just lost and that's it. It sucks. Life's over. You know, like, you can choose the way you look at things. It's just having a positive outlook and a good perspective.
Yeah. And I think kind of like building off of that, just kind of wrapping like everything that we've talked about to like the belief in yourself is huge, but what has helped you, like, have you believed in your mission more than yourself at times? Like, what has like helped you keep going, or what is like the most important thing, like when that belief kind of wavers? Because we're human. I'm not saying that you don't believe in yourself, but you know.
No, I think my mission is continuously evolving. Like, I'm still young. I'm still learning. My thought process changes every day. Like, I'm getting older. My body's changing. Like, my mission in general, I think, is always evolving. Like, I've been asked, like, what's your purpose? What's your mission? And like, it's kind of a hard question for me to answer directly, because I feel like it's always changing. Like, I know I have a good heart and I want to help people and I want to influence people in a positive direction. And whether that's in entrepreneurship and helping people get going, or life advice or motivation, like whatever it is, I feel like it's constantly evolving and growing. But I do think, like, I don't have any shame in my game. Like, I'm money motivated. Like, I have a lot of goals for things that I want to accomplish, from a financial perspective. But the other side of that, and really thinking about it, comes from like my desire to have freedom and my desire to have time to spend with my kids and help them experience things and go out and live life and not be kind of held back financially, because that is the reality for a lot of people. Like, I'm not saying that the money is going to bring me happiness, but I think I'm financially motivated because I know what I'll be able to do with the freedom that comes with that. And a big part of that is like being able to go and travel and experience things and build relationships through experience, whether that's with my family, friends, whatever it is. I think that's kind of like the big thing for me. I'm not trying to, you know, I don't think I'm going to save the world and cure cancer. Like, that's not my purpose and that's not my motivation. You know, and it might be a selfish perspective for it to be so I can go and do all these cool things and experience it. But like, at the end of the day, everyone's their own person. And, you know, it's a dog eat dog world out there anyways. Everyone's trying to go get their own. So, you know, why not me too?
Yeah. And I don't think that's like a selfish perspective. I think it would be, you'd be, a person would be less connected to the monetary like motivation if they didn't know the why behind it. Like, if you didn't know like why you, like, a Lamborghini is great. Like, if that's your motivation, like, go for it. All more power to you. But like, the freedom, the time, the like actual quality of life, like, that is obviously attached to the money. So it's not necessarily like, I don't think it's money hungry. I think it's honestly like freedom hungry, like freedom to like do whatever you want in this life. And I think that some people misconstrue when people, like, when you hear like, oh, I just want to make a lot of money. And they're like, there's like an almost like a negative connotation around that, which is so interesting to me. What you just described, like, if you spin it like that, people are like, oh, well, yeah. And it's like, well, yeah, you can't do that without.
Yeah, you can't. Like, if you're broke, like, you just can't. Like, you're gonna have, I'm a big believer, I don't think money buys happiness. I really don't. Like, know people who have money and aren't happy. Like, you hear that from people all the time. But there are, like, you've got money problems and then you've got like personal problems. And like, you can solve the money problem thing. There's gonna be personal problems always. People are gonna get sick, people are gonna get hurt, you're gonna lose friendships, relationships, like, regardless of what your bank account looks like, those things are always going to be around. And you have to be okay with that. Like, that's part of life. But the other things that you can like directly affect, you know, like, why wouldn't you try to help yourself? There's definitely people out there who want to make money so they can go and post their Lamborghini on the internet, like, and drive around and feel cool and get fulfillment that way. Like to me, that's a dead end. It's that well dries up. Like at some point, that fulfillment of buying things is going to go out the window. So I know that wholeheartedly, and I believe in that, at least for myself. Mm-hmm. You know, other people, maybe not. They keep buying a new car and it gives them fulfillment, whatever the case is. But like, yeah, my fulfillment and kind of motivation is much more around being able to have freedom to experience things and build relationships off of those experiences and be around people that I love and surround myself with things that I want to do and people I want to be around.
Yeah. And I think that just opens up with the monetary thing. And I think it all depends on like what you value, like as a person, like what people value and what motivates them. And I think it kind of just goes back to believing in that and having those like guiding lights, essentially. So when that belief in yourself kind of does waver, you're like, no, this is the bigger picture. Like, this is the life I want to create, or this is the impact I want to have, like, regardless of what the sale is, regardless of all of those things. So like last little question, what would your advice be, even though there's so many like great little gems in this episode, like what is your advice for someone getting either out of athletics, ending a career, because all careers end, or getting into the entrepreneur space?
Yeah, I mean, I've said it a lot, but like, I think the biggest thing is don't be afraid to believe in yourself. Like, I think a lot of people would surprise themselves strictly by like getting that confident. A lot of times it comes with success. Like, it's hard to just sit there and get beat down, loss after loss after loss, and like reinforce in your head, like, I got it. You know, I still got it. Like, I'm still him, and have that confidence. Like, I totally understand that. Everyone goes through that. But fighting those negative thoughts and not being afraid to pivot. Like, if you're, you know, if your dream was to play Division I football and like, you can't get on the varsity field for whatever reason it is, coach hates you, you got no game, you can't catch, like whatever it is, like you need to at some point be okay with that. You should believe in yourself and continue to try. But when that time comes, like, don't be afraid to say like, hey, this might not be my path. You know, like, I feel like a lot of people in entrepreneurship specifically, like, they have this ego and this belief that like, this is it and this is going to happen for me. And then they go and raise money. They take money from their friends and family to start this business, and they keep going down this drain. And it's like, yo, your business model might not even make sense. You might be selling something for 10 bucks and it costs you 15 bucks to make it, but they'll keep doing it. Like, not having that delusion when something is not working. But that's a really fine line, you know, and there's tons and tons of stories out there where things didn't work for a very long time. And then all of a sudden that thing starts to work because it gets influence, or the market takes onto it, or whatever the case is. And all of a sudden it's this massively big success and you're making all this money and you're getting everything you ever dreamt of. I feel like a lot of people see those stories and they're like, this is going to be me. And it's like, yeah, that might be the case and that might happen, but like, it also might not, you know? So like, at the end of the day, it's risk. You're taking a risk, and you're either going to believe that works, and you might end up like wasting a ton of money and losing people's money, and it doesn't work out, but it also might work out. So again, it's not like a black and white thing. I think that's why everyone isn't successful. Like, sometimes people make the right decision and they keep going and they don't give up. Sometimes people make the wrong decision and they keep going and they don't give up. And then all of a sudden they're 500 grand in the hole and their parents have a second mortgage out on their house and the business isn't making any money, you know? Right. So like, it's just, but I would definitely err on the side of believing in yourself. You know, don't be so quick to be like, shit, it ain't working. It's not going to happen. But go find the open door. Don't be blind that the door might be closed, but look the other direction and see that there's another door open. But like, to me, that's like what makes people different. Call it talent, whatever it is. Like, everybody's different. And some people are willing to look this way and see the open door. Other people aren't. And that's what creates people who are successful, aren't successful. And the timing around it is up in the air. It's sometimes it's a month, sometimes it's 10 years, sometimes it's 30 years. Like, it's just, it's no exact science. And, you know, I would err on believing in yourself and trusting yourself and going with your gut, whether it's closing that door and finding the new door or continuing to try to, you know, push through that door. It's, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's hard, man. It's, it's tough out there. Yeah. It's life's hard. It ain't easy, whether it's relationships, school, business, whatever it is. Like, it ain't easy. So find some good people to surround yourself with and keep pushing.
Yeah. No, that's all you can do, to be honest. So Joe, this has been awesome. Amazing conversation. Just in closing, like, is there anywhere that people can connect with you, find your products or anything that you want to plug, like anything like that?
I'm starting to go all in on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's my big thing now. So I'm posting on LinkedIn, putting out a lot of content that I think is valuable, whether it's business focused with the kind of expertise that I have on the packaging side of consumer goods, or motivation, you know, like that's really where I'm putting stuff out. So yeah, I'd say LinkedIn. Not big on social. I realize I'm just like Instagram. I'm just bad. Like, I'm not the selfie, take a video guy. I'm just not that. I'm not good at going out and creating content other ways. So, I'm all in on LinkedIn right now.
Sweet. Okay, cool. So if you want to connect with Joe, find him on LinkedIn. And yeah, Joe, I appreciate your time, and listeners, I appreciate your ear, and stay tuned for the next episode. We'll see you on the next one.
Thanks, Jess. Appreciate you.